And our second scripture reading comes from the book of Ephesians. I'm going to be reading from the Good News Bible. Let us give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us through our union with Christ to be his, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God has already decided that through Christ he would make us his sons. That is, it was his pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. For by the sacrificial death of Christ, we are set free that our sins will be forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gives in such large measure. In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he proposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which will be complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together and everything in heaven and on earth with Christ as its head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought your salvation. You believed in Christ and God, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and that assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. Holy wisdom, holy word. Before I begin, Cindy wanted me to say something about my stole. When the Paradise fire first hit, my friends in Palo Alto called and said, "What do you need?" And I said, "Absolutely everything." So they did. They sent a great big box, and it was wonderful. But they also, my friend, her grandchildren, picked out this beautiful stole for me. So I wanted to, I haven't got the robe yet, but, you know, it'll come. And speaking of that Paradise fire, my friends from also who were burned out in Paradise are here visiting, and they live in here in Santa Rosa. So my friends Cheryl and Ken Caldwell, just wave. So I'm hoping you all will greet them afterwards. The writer, Robert Fulghum, taught a course when I was attending seminary, and he told us a lot about his writing of his books. He told us that every year he spends a week in what's Weezer, Idaho. Only 4,000 people live there. Little happens in the town except once a year when it becomes the home of the grand old-timers fiddler's contest. I don't know if any of you have been there or not, but the contest began in 1953 with a few folk from the community and the surrounding communities. Fulghum began attending after he'd heard about it in 1980, so a lot of time had gone by. As the years have gone by, people from all walks of life, all shapes and sizes, and from many countries have gathered to participate. Fulghum asked one old-time fiddler, a retired policeman, what he felt about all these people invading his community. And he said, "I don't care who they are or how they look, it don't matter. If you can fiddle, you're all right with me." He said, "It's the music that counts. When we all make music together, the world seems like a mighty fine place." This story illustrates a picture of what our scripture passage is about: God's plans for humankind to be drawn together through Christ as one people and proclaiming God's praise and love. When Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians from a prison cell, he sent it to all the little house churches, not just to the church house in Ephesians. I believe the letter was passed on to all the different churches. He wanted all the folk to capture a vision that God has for us and all the world. He wanted them to see that in the middle of a fractured and broken world, there would be a church where all could come together despite very real differences. The church would be a place where they would find safety and wholeness for all. It must have been an exciting time when those little house churches received an epistle or letter from Paul. Bear in mind that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, had not been written yet. And so this was their first written words about Christ. The letters from Paul were only printed, written about 60 AD, and I believe that the earliest Gospel, Mark, was written in about 65 AD. What they heard was simply music to their ears. It was written from the heart of an old man who, out of years of faith experience, and it was a hymn about the Father who adopts us as his own. It was a hymn about God who came incarnate as Jesus to save us. It was a hymn about a world without barriers or divisions. And most of all, it was a song that touched their hearts. It was about the gift of the Holy Spirit that God gives us through Christ. Using a theme introduced to me by Pastor Roger Lovett, I would like to suggest that we think of this passage, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, as an overture or a hymn, which summarizes all that follows in the entire book of Ephesians. The hymn became part of the liturgy and worship of those early churches. They learned these words, they memorized it, they sang them, they shared them. The letter from Paul became for these little churches a rallying song or hymn that kept them going. They were much like the civil rights foot soldiers of the 60s who gathered in those little black churches in the South to pray and sing until they found the power that kept them going despite the fear of death, the loss of jobs, fire hoses, bombings, and a world that they did not understand. So I will divide Paul's hymn into three stanzas. These three stanzas form a vision not only for those early house churches, but for our church today. I will read verses 3 through 6, which we will make the first stanza of this hymn of God. And I'm going to ask you, being a retired speech therapist and language therapist, that you try closing your eyes and listening to this morning. See if you can really hear the words. Beginning with verse 3. Let us give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God had already decided through Jesus Christ he would make us his adopted family. And that was his pleasure and his purpose. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son. Amen. This message that God planned from the beginning of time to choose us to be his adopted family through Christ, that we might receive God's spiritual blessings and be holy, was music to the ears of those early believers. Paul knew that these little house churches would never be overwhelmed by the powers of the world when their focus was on singing, their singing was directed by God. It was only when they moved away from this vision relying on their own selves, that their resources, their own resources, that they would not, that they would flounder and fail. Now let's move to what we will call the second stanza of our hymn of Ephesians. I'm going to be reading 7 through 10. Again, if it helped, try closing your eyes to listen. For by the sacrificial death of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gave to us in such large measure. In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he proposed and made known to us the secret plan that he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as its head. The second stanza of our hymn has moved from the vertical, looking up to God, to the horizontal. In verses 7 through 10, it becomes a hymn to the world as well. God really did love the world. Heaven touches earth. God as Father knows and loves all his children. His vision says that in Christ, we have been delivered and have found forgiveness. The music we make together says we can all be, all of us, redeemed and forgiven. For this vision was that in Christ, not only would there be no north or south, no east or west, but more, much more. God's secret plan was to bring us all together. There will be no more pecking order, no more we's and they's, no more them's and us's, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide world. But even this godly stanza does not end our hymn. Let's consider what the third stanza of our hymn, as I read verses 11 through 14. All things are done according to God's plan and decision. God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who are the first hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also become God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought salvation. You believed in Christ and God, and that God put his stamp and ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had planned. The Spirit is that guarantee that we shall receive what Christ has promised his people, and that assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. Amen. Now our hymn becomes very personal. Note the pronouns. You became God's child when you heard the good news. The good news brings you salvation, forgiveness, and new life. You believe that God put a stamp of ownership on you. The Holy Spirit was given to you. And the Holy Spirit guarantees that we all shall receive what God has promised and assures us that God will give complete freedom to all who are his. Now, the third stanza is a promise to us. From behind bars, Paul knew that this gospel spoke a personal word, a word to the heart that would become the basis for worship in those early churches, and even today. Anne Lamott, I'm sure many of you have read her books, is a best-selling author. She is also an elder in the Presbyterian Church. She had a long journey to get to that point. After years of drug abuse and sexual addiction, suicide attempts, and great depression. She tells about one Sunday when she heard music coming from the little tiny church down the road. This music forced her to stop and listen. She heard the gospel sounds that she remembered singing as a child. And the music just captured her heart. Week after week, she would come back and stand outside the church and listen to the music. The choir had 5 black women and 1 white man, and they made glorious music together. Congregation had about 30 or so people and seemed to radiate kindness and warmth. Finally, after a month or so, she finally got up the courage to walk in and sit in the back pew. She usually left before the sermon. She came to love many things about that church and their care for one another, their community mission program, and the way they welcome strangers. But she writes, it was the singing that pulled me in and split me wide open. It was breath and food. Sometime, something inside me that was stiff and rotting felt soft and tender. And somehow the singing wore me down so that all the boundaries and distinctions that kept me so isolated were broken down. Sitting there and standing with them to sing, sometimes so shaky, she said, then sick that I felt like I might tip over, I felt bigger than myself, like I was being taken care of, or like I was being tricked into coming back to life. God's scripture created a hymn, this morning's scripture created a hymn about the glory of God, who came as Christ to bring us into God's family and to forgive us and to love us. It tells about the plans God has to unite all people and the promises that God gives us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are marked, we are stamped as God's own beloved children, and given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the title of my sermon this morning is Be a Hymn. Actually, Cindy suggested this to me because I couldn't think of a title at the moment, and it just fit perfectly. And I thought about this, and I thought, I've been here, I came here in March, and I have met so many wonderful people, and I see so many people that are living hymns. But this morning, I would just like to mention one in particular. She is a wonderful member of our own congregation, and she demonstrates what a living hymn is about. Betsy Yeager loves music. She played instruments and was a choir director of First Presbyterian Church of San Anselmo. Her husband was a well-known radio announcer in San Francisco, and they decided to receive training as missionaries. When they finished the training, they uprooted the whole family and moved to Colombia, where Betsy helped folk to sing about the Lord, leading choirs and sharing the word of God's amazing grace through music. They also went to Mexico and Chile, but the bulk of their time was in Colombia. And each of her children received Betsy's musical talent, each one playing a different instrument or two. And we are honored to have Betsy Yeager worship with us when she is able. Thank you, Betsy, for demonstrating for us how we can become a living hymn as we live out our lives in Christ. And thank you also for the gift of Steve, who leads our sacred space music and is a part of our incredible, wonderful choir. Now, I'm the first to admit that not all of us have musical talent. Not all of us can uproot our families and go to other countries to be missionaries. However, we all have something that we are good at. Whatever talent we have, we can share not only in this community, but in our larger community of faith. And there are so many possibilities, even here at church, like showing up to help cook for breakfast for the young people from Montgomery High School. There are just so many opportunities to use those talents. So we can become a living hymn as we sing this story of God's love and share with our family and friends the good news of Jesus. For we now, all of us, as I told the Women's Association the other day, we are the storytellers of God's words for tomorrow and the next generation. We pass our faith along to others through our words and through our actions and through our love. Friends, I invite each of you to become a living voice in the larger and vibrant song of God's love in action. Together, we can join our hearts and voices and talents as we live the story of God's amazing love. And together, we can become a living hymn here in the Presbyterian Church of the Roses. I almost started to say paradise. I'm sorry. I apologize. And in our community. So friends, I invite each of you to become a living hymn. Amen.